My guest is Mina Markham. Mina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What do you do?
I'm a front-end developer at a company called Perigo, based in Lewisville, Texas.
Lewisville, that's the Dallas area.
Yeah, Dallas area, yes.
Right. You did a presentation here at that conference on SaaS, correct?
Yes. It was SaaS and CSS smart architecture.
Oh, okay. What's SaaS?
SaaS is a CSS preprocessor. What it does is allow you to use more programming functionality in CSS, and it'll output something that the browser can understand.
A preprocessor, programming functionality. Let's expand on that.
Okay. So what it would do is it allows you to do things like color functions and for loops and really advanced sort of programming functionality that CSS by itself is not capable of. And then it turns that into something that the browser can then understand. It outputs vanilla CSS, if you will.
Interesting. Give me some examples of that. We were talking earlier about the functions.
There's this particular part of SAS called a mixin. So what it does is it takes a reusable bit of code and allows you to input that into various places within your CSS file. A mixin accepts arguments, so it allows you to reuse the same bit of code over and over, and you can just change one value here and there. So, okay. For example, a common use case is a media query. A media query is something with CSS3. It allows the CSS to change based on the actual device it's on. So, a basic media query looks like a media type equals screen, and the query is the minimum width or the maximum width, and then the parameter would be whatever pixel width or m width you set.
Okay, so the screen size.
Yeah, screen size.
Into which part of the CSS actually gets applied?
Yeah, based on the screen size, it would apply the CSS within that query itself.
Okay,
it's a new CSS three, a new CSS three. I can't even think of the word I'm thinking of, but
standard,
whatever. Anyway, a typical use case for mixin is to use a media query that way, because you're still putting the same snippet of code. Only thing you want to change is whatever screen size you are querying. So the example is you would include a mixin for, let's say you want a mobile one, so you would set a min width for whatever a mobile size is, and then for another bit of, you would include then another query for, let's say, a tablet or something. And all that allows you to do is just write that snippet one time, but just change whatever variable you want it to apply to, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay.
What's the advantage of doing it this way as opposed to just doing that in straight CSS? And CSS3 does support that.
The advantage of doing it this way as opposed to vanilla CSS is that it allows you to nest these within your CSS declarations themselves. Because the normal way you would write it is you would write your declaration at the beginning or higher up in your CSS file, and then down at below you would have all these media queries saying if it meets these parameters, do this instead.
Okay.
The advantage of doing it with SAS is that you can have that same bit of code, that same media query, but you would put it inside the initial declaration, so that way it keeps all of your code organized and everything to do with that one particular declaration is in that one place in your file as opposed to in various places.
Okay, so if you have a my class selector, not my class selector, then, and you wanted to have a dot my class selector for small screens, you'd have that below in vanilla CSS, and for dot larger screens and dot medium screens, those will all be repeated. But with SAS, you could have just dot my class, and within the dot my class selector, there would be kind of like a sub-collector selector.
Yeah, it would say that my class, and then underneath that, you would say include media query for mobile or small size, and then you would define the styles for that one.
Okay, so organizationally, it's a lot cleaner and easier to fix than easier to find where these things are.
Yeah, that's one of the main advantages of SAS, is that it allows you to break your CSS into smaller chunks and keep everything very well organized. And one of the great things I love about it is that it actually, when you compile it, it'll compress everything for you. It'll do all the minification and compressing for you. So that way, once your CSS file that you actually deliver to the browser is a very optimized version of it.
Hmm. What are some other things, advantages? What are some other things you can do with SAS?
SAS, there's this other function called Mixin, or excuse me, not Mixins, Extends, which is sort of like Mixins, except it doesn't accept any arguments. Hmm. All that does is it tells it to inherit the properties of whatever selector you're extending. Hmm. It's different than the normal cascade and selector inheritance because it will just repeat whatever the... It'll repeat whatever the styles are for the class you're extending into the one you're extending it into. Let me think of an example. A good example of it is when you're doing a module. Say you have a button module, and then you have a sub-module of, like, button secondary or something. You want the button secondary to have the same styles as the regular button with just a couple of tweaks.
Okay.
So you would extend the class of dot button inside of the class of dot button secondary. And what SAS will do is then it will combine the common styles of the two into a comma separated selector, and then it'll output just in the button secondary selector whatever the differences are.
Okay. So a comma, if I'm trying to remember my CSS here, a comma-separated selector is basically the intersection
It's basically just two selectors. They'll say, for this selector and this, use these styles.
Okay. Or so it's the union of the two. So yeah. If it's either this one or this one, then apply to both those. Okay. All right. And what's output from this is just vanilla CSS. Is there any way, if I looked at a page to tell, as a client, to tell whether it was generated by SAS or
no, there is. Well, I take that back. You can have SAS actually output debugging comments. It'll tell you like where in the SAS file the CSS came from.
And that's just as a developer.
And that's best for a developer. But if you don't turn that off when you go to production, then a client will see that. And if they know what they're looking at, they'll be able to tell that this came from something else. But if you don't turn that part, if you turn that part off like you're supposed to, then no, it really is just CSS.
Okay. So the nice thing is that my clients don't need to have anything special.
Yeah, your clients.
In order to use my website just because I'm using SAS.
Yeah. The beauty of SAS is that it outputs CSS, like just regular CSS that any browser can use. So it doesn't matter what your client browser is going, you're using, what computer they're on. It's just, no one will know the difference except for you. It just makes your life easier. Right.
But I, as the web developer, I have to have some tools installed on my local machine to enable SAS, right?
SAS is built with Ruby, so you need to have Ruby installed.
Okay. Version of Ruby?
No, I think probably Ruby version 1.8-ish, I think.
But it could be JRuby, it could be Iron Ruby, it could be, I'm not a Ruby guy, there's a lot of different Rubies out there.
I don't think so. I don't think that matters at all. Okay. You don't need to know Ruby either. It just needs to be installed because the SAS engine, the SAS compiler, is written in Ruby.
I see.
But there also are a lot of GUIs that you could use if you don't want to install Ruby on your machine or if it doesn't come pre-installed on your machine. Hmm. There are a couple of apps. I think there's one called Compass app. There's one called Scout app. And they'll do the compiling for you so you don't have to go through the hassle of installing Ruby if you don't want to.
Okay. So when you say a GUI, this is a development environment?
Basically, it's almost like an IDE, but it does just simple compiling for you. There's one for Mac called CodeKit that really, it does a lot of things besides just SAS compiling. It also does stuff for LESS, which is another CSS preprocessor. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just an environment that'll do this part for you.
Very cool. Anything else that cool things you want to highlight about?
There are lots of SAS-based frameworks and libraries that you can use. Oh. There's one called Compass, which is basically an extension of SAS. It's also written by one of the main developers on SAS, so it definitely most people use those two in tandem.
Okay.
There's something called Bourbon, which is it's a mix-in library. It basically adds more functionality that's not default with SAS. It adds things like being able to do prefixes for certain browsers, border radiuses. Like, it takes advantage of a lot of like CSS3 functionality.
Okay.
There's a lot of great resources out there. So just if you're looking to get involved in SAS, then definitely there's lots of things that'll help.
SAS is an open source project, right?
SAS is definitely, it's open source. It's all open source. The source code is on Ruby. They encourage people to get involved. So if you want to contribute to the SAS project, you're more than welcome to.
Okay. You have to know Ruby.
Yeah, you probably have to know Ruby to do that part. Yes.
There's where's that? Where do I get started with SAS? What's
The main SAS website is called sas-lang.com,
I believe. That's where I can download it.
And that's where you get instructions to download it. You can't download it via the website. You actually have to download it through the terminal or the command line, or get one of those GUIs I told you about, and you can just bypass that step.
I see.
But yeah, that's where you would get started. It tells you how to install it if you want to. It also gives you links to other resources, and it has great documentation. You can find out exactly how much SAS can do.
All right. And you're traveling around the country talking about this stuff, right?
Yes, I am.
Are you also writing about it?
I don't write about it yet on my blog. There's actually a great blog called The SAS Way that I'm becoming an author for. I will be able – you will see some articles pop up here and there on there. But
what's on your blog?
On my blog, my poor blog's abandoned right now. I don't think I've written on it in like a year, so there's nothing too exciting going on there.
Okay. Any last thoughts?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. Everyone who wants to get involved with SAS, or anyone who wants to learn more about SAS, I am looking forward to meeting so many more SASy friends in the technology field.